all said here in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. And then he said, I'm the chief. All the sinners I've met, said, I've met a lot of sinners. I've known a lot of sinners. Preached to a lot of sinners. Seen a lot of sinners converted. But he said, of all the sinners I ever met, all the sinners that I ever knew, all the sinners that I ever seen converted, I was the chief. I was the chief. Howbeit, because I was a sinner, I obtained mercy. Thank God for that. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now look what he said to Timothy also down here in verse 18. This charge or this commandment I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest by war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Now listen to this, the difference. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And Paul names them, of whose Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here's a man who called himself the chief of sinners, and then he turned around and talked about some men who left the faith. And I want to ask you a question. And the only question, you're the only one that can answer. And have you ever asked yourself this question? Am I a child of God? Has God saved me? Has God gave me grace? Did Christ die for me? Did He shed His blood for me? For me, this worm whom Him to death pursued? Huh? John Newton wrote many, many hymns, and he asked himself this same question. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? And here's a fellow that'd been on the road for a long time. Long time. Now for you to answer this question, you have to ask yourself some other questions. And I'll tell you where you don't ask, though, and I'll tell you who you don't ask. You don't ever ask another man. Don't ask me whether you're saved or not. Don't ask me whether you're a child of God or not. I can't see into your heart. I don't know God's purpose for you in this world. And I say you wouldn't ask yourself this question. You wouldn't ask yourself, how much knowledge do I have of God? How much knowledge do you have of God? You don't want to ask yourself that question. You don't want to ask yourself, how much do I know about God's Word? If your salvation and if you're a child of God depend on how much you know about His Word. And surely, you know, that's why Paul said, he said, you know, the wisdom and knowledge of God are without measure. They pass understanding. It's past understanding. And I tell you something else you never question. If you want to know if you're a child of God, you don't ask this question. You don't say, how do I feel? Do I feel saved? Do I feel saved? Huh? Do I feel saved because of an experience I had or experiences that I've had? How many experiences have you had in your lifetime since you professed faith in Christ and after you professed faith in Christ? How many feelings have you had? How many have you had? A lot of them. So you don't want to look at your experience. And if you say, am I a child of God? And you ask yourself this question. Am I a child of God? And I'm sure there's some here today that ponder that question. Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I saved by His blessed grace? Do I trust Him? Do I know Him? Am I believing Him? Well, how in the world am I going to know? How can I know? Who can give me assurance that I'm one of God's children? There's only one place that you can go and give any assurance at all. And it's from God's blessed Word itself. That's the only place you can go. And I want you to see that. Now turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know the Scriptures tells us in James chapter 1, while you turn over here to 1 Peter chapter 1, that by His own will, not your free will, not your good will, not your happy will, but by His own will begat He us with the word of truth. And look what Peter said here. This is the only place you're going to find where you get any assurance that you're a child of God. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now that's the first thing. If you have a purified soul, if you have a soul that's been purged from its sin, a soul that trusts Christ, a soul that's been washed in the blood of Christ, if your soul's been purified, it's in obeying the truth. Well, how in the world do we obey the truth? By the Spirit and through the Spirit. And how in the world can you know that this has happened? Because you'll have an unfeigned love for the brethren. How do we know we've passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. If you have love in your heart for the brethren, do you have love in your heart for Christ? Do you have love in your heart for His blessed Word? And then you'll love one another with a pure heart fervently. You do for others without any regard to yourself. And listen to this. Being born again. That's how you obeyed the truth. That's how your soul was purified. That's how you come to love the brethren. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Oh, does the Word of God have power in your heart, have power in your life? Does it have effect on you when you hear it? And this Word lives and abides forever. And this is what we know about our flesh. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is the flower that grows. It's just like the flower of the grass. I first moved to Tennessee. I was 24 years old, married 22. Head full of black hair. Young. Full of life. Now look at me. What happened? Huh? That's what I'm telling you. Oh, the glory of man is just going and going and going and going. Leaving us. Oh, man, in his best states, altogether vanity. Man, in his glory, the best place he ever lived in his life. Is he going to end up mounting to nothing? And look what he goes on to say. That grass withers and the flower falleth off. There was two bouquets that people brought to Mary. Paige brought one and Marlene brought one. And beautiful, beautiful, smelled. I carried one out day before yesterday because they just withered away. Throwed them away. Carried the other one out this morning and throwed it away. And just withered away. Hey, beautiful when they're first done. And that's what we're doing. That's what he says. That's where we're headed. And look what he says. But this is the thing. We're withered away. And our glory is passing away. But this gospel, this truth, this word of God that saved us by the power of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, just two things I want to say today. Just two things. If you're wondering whether you're a child of God, whether God saved you by His grace, if you're wondering, some of you may not. Some of you may never doubt it. Some of you may never question yourself. But there's only two questions that I'd ask you. Just two. And the first one's this. Would you say to yourself and answer this question, am I a sinner? The only people that God saves is sinners. He don't save anybody else. Absolutely will not save nobody but a sinner. Mary says time and time again, this is the only hope I have, that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Scott Richardson said one time, the more you can convince me of being a sinner, the more hope you give me and entitle me to the mercy of God in Christ. And I tell you, God's Word says He saves sinners, and oh, listen, I want to be saved. Ain't that what He said here in verse 15 of 1 Timothy? This is a faithful saying. I mean, you can say it any time, under any circumstances, anywhere. And it's worthy for everybody to believe it, everybody to accept it. That Christ Jesus came into this world to do what? Save sinners. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Jesus means Savior. And if He's a Savior, He came here to save. And let me ask you something. And that's why Paul goes on to say, for this cause. This is the reason. Because I was a sinner. Because I was a sinner from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Because I was a sinner from the inside of my soul to the outside of my skin. Because I was a sinner, howbeit for this cause, because I was a sinner, I obtained mercy. Mercy. God be merciful to me. That's what that publican said while the Pharisee prayed that with himself. That old publican, when he lifted his eyes to heaven, and that Pharisee stood just like this, and that publican was like this. And he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That sacrifice, that blood, that sacrifice on that altar, please. Look to that sacrifice, look to that offering, and be merciful to me, the sinner, because of that sacrifice. And I'll tell you something about, I'll just talk about me now. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. How do I know? God said I was. God said that I sinned and come short of His glory. God said that I was full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I wasn't cleansed. I wasn't mollified. God said that all of my righteousness was as a filthy rag. Not only is God's Word says it, but my conscience says that I am. My conscience tells me that I'm a sinner. My conscience says, oh, you sin, you sin, you sin. My conscience says that you don't love God with all your heart. My conscience says that, oh, how you failed God 1,000 times and oh, so many ways. My conscience says I'm a sinner. My experience says that I'm a sinner. Everything I've ever done says that I'm a sinner. Every word I've said, every prayer I've prayed, every tear I've shed says I'm a sinner. And all my actions say that I am. My actions say that I am. I've never done anything unselfishly. I've never done anything unselfishly. Never. And I've certainly never done anything exclusively for the glory of God. Have you? Are you a child of God? How can this be that we could be so sinful? And our conscience and our experience and our actions say that we are. How in the world could we be saved being so sinful? Huh? The Holy Spirit says I'm a sinner. The Holy Spirit comes and convinces me over and over and over. Whether I'm in bed, or whether I'm sitting in my chair, or whether I'm out piddling around on the farm. Look, the Holy Spirit says you're a sinner. And oh, look at the death of Christ on the cross. Look at that blessed Savior on the cross. Look at that man on the cross. What in the world is he doing there? You know what he's doing there? He's bearing sin in his own body there. He's being punished for somebody's sin. He's being murdered by sinful men because they're such sinners that God Himself said, I will not let anybody, even my own son, in my presence with sin on it. And so the death of Christ, when I look there, I see, oh, what a sinner, 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 what a sinner! And my wife would have told you 1,000 times, yes, he is. My children would tell you I am. My friends say I am. Every one of you would have to say, yes, he is. And my loved ones will tell you, yes, I am. And I'll tell you something about it. I'm a sinner whether I feel it or whether I don't. Do you know what I said? I'm a sinner whether I feel it or whether I don't. Now, I'm ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of your sin? Oh, I'm so ashamed of it. Don't want to glory in it. Embarrassed by it. And I'm certainly thankful that of all the sins I've committed, there ain't nobody seen but God. I'm glad that all the things that I've said and done and things that I've thought that only God Himself could see. I certainly wouldn't want you to look into me. Certainly wouldn't want to look into my mind, into my heart. I wouldn't want you to do that. I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed by it. And I would love to cease from it. And one of these blessed days I will. It's awful. It's an awful thing that to know that there's something in you that's so against God, against righteousness and against true holiness. Something so intrinsically evil that we would ungod God if we could. Yes, a sinner. You know what kind? Mephibosheth. They went and fetched him. And they brought him to King David, and David was on his throne. Mephibosheth couldn't walk. Mephibosheth was David's enemy. And now Mephibosheth, you know what the first thing he said when he was laid down in David's feet? He said, "Who am I but a dead dog in the sight of the king?" Dead dog. Woman brought her daughter. Oh my, you got daughters. You got granddaughters. If your daughter was grievously vexed and grievously sick, where would you take her? This woman had a little girl. And this girl was so afflicted. And she brought her to the Lord Jesus Christ and she said, "Lord," he says, my daughter is so troubled. She's so sick. And our Lord just ignored her, just went about His business, His disciples around Him. She just kept on saying, "Lord, my daughter's sick." He said to her, "It's not fit." He said, "I'm sent nobody but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's not fit to take the children's bread to give it to dogs." She just backed up, bowed her head, planted at the Savior's feet, said, "Lord, everything You say so. Everything You said so." that, oh, even a dog gets a crumb from his master's table. You know what our Lord said to her? Go, thy faith has saved you. Oh, listen. Could you be a dead dog sitter? Could you be a dead dog sitter? Huh? I am. I ain't gonna make, you know. And I'll tell you something else. Are you a child of God? Here's another thing. If you're a child of God, I know one thing you are. Not only are you a sinner, but you're a hypocrite. There's not a person in this building who's not a hypocrite. You say, well, I'm not. Well, let's see. Let's just see. Have you ever said one thing and done another? Have you ever pretended to be something around other people in that and act like you just had over heels with them and then you couldn't hardly wait to get away? Huh? Do you expect from others what you're not willing to give yourself? Do you expect something from others what you're not willing to give yourself? Look over in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You know, you can know today, you can know right now by what I'm saying, whether you're a child of God or not. You can. Look what he says in verse 15, Romans 7. For that which I do, I allow not. I do things that I just absolutely do not approve of. For what I would do, that I do not. I don't do it. But what I hate, that's exactly what I do. Do you understand that language? I understand that language. That's me. What did Todd preach here in one of our meetings? He said, are you a Romans 7 sinner? I am. Oh, listen to what else he said. If then I do that which I would not, I can sit under the law that it's good because it told me and made me understand that what I'm doing is not right. It's not good. And oh, listen, for I know that in me. Now say this for yourself. Read this for yourself. That I know that in me. That is in my flesh. There is no good thing in me. Nowhere is what Paul said. The will is present with me. Oh, to will, to be honest, to be sincere, to be loving, to be kind, to be gracious, to be unselfish, to not be a hypocrite, to always do what's right. The will is present with me. But how to do it, I just don't know how. I just don't know how. Then, oh, look what he said down in verse 23. But I see another law, a principle in my members, in my mind, in my eyes, in my ear, in my heart, things I do with my hands, places I go with my feet, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in these members. Oh, wretched man that I am. See that exclamation point? He just cried out with a great big cry. And then he come to that, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then, oh my, thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh my. But let me tell you something. Something about a child of God that he won't do. They won't use their depravity, their sinfulness as an excuse for sin. They won't use that for an excuse to sin. You won't use the grace of God as an excuse to sin. Every one of us, me, you, and everybody else, if we're children of God, we have to take the blame for what I am and what I do. You certainly wouldn't charge God with causing you to sin, would you? You wouldn't say, I'm going to continue in sin because grace is going to abound, would you? Surely you wouldn't do that. I have to bear the blame for what I do and what I am. Nobody makes me sin. Nobody holds a gun on me. Nobody forces me. Do they? And I know this, if God doesn't save me by grace, and if I'm not a sinner, there ain't no hope for me. Now here's my second question. Now, did you agree with that first question? Are you that first person that I talked to? Are you? Huh? If you haven't experienced being a sinner, if your conscience don't say you are, God, you don't believe what God said about you, if your actions don't say you are, if everything about you doesn't say you are, and you listen, then you don't have any hope in Christ either. Is that not right? You have no hope. The only people Jesus Christ died for and came into this world for was sinners. And that's one thing that those Pharisees said. Our Lord Jesus Christ and telling them, if you know the truth will set you free. They said, well, we never been in bondage to anybody. And they said, well, you're the servants of sin. He says, we never sinned. As for this man, we don't know where he's from. Come from talking about Christ. There's people that would not admit to being a sinner under no circumstances. Go to a Mennonite church and see if you can find a sinner. Go to a Pentecostal church, see if you can find a sinner. The only place you'll find sinners is people that's in the sight of God been made sinners. People that ain't trying to dress to be holy, ain't trying to dress a certain way to make them stand out from anybody else. The only holiness some people have is a bonnet on their head and a dark dress on their body. That's the only holiness that people have. The only righteousness they have is the righteousness that you can see and how they dress. And the men with their beards and their black hats. And the little buggies with their horses. If that's all it takes to be holy, let's all go get black hats. Let's all get buggies. And let's all get horses. And let's all wear black dresses. And I'll grow a gray beard and we'll all just go to heaven that way. Oh, that's good. And let me ask you the second question. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And have you trusted Him with your soul? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you've trusted Him with your soul? Look what he says back over in 1 Timothy 1. Look what he says again about this. Look what he says, what Paul says about it. 1 Timothy 1. Look what he says here in verse 16. Oh my. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth a law of long-suffering for a pattern for them after which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. You say, beloved, the Word of God said that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ I could and would be saved. I want you to, I don't want to take too long, but I do want you to look at some scriptures with me for just a minute. First of all, I want you to look in John chapter 9. I want you to see these things. I want you to understand these things. Those of you that are having struggles, whether you're God's child or not, or whether I'm a believer or not, whether I've trusted Christ or not. And I'm sure there's some that are here that's that way. I'm sure there's some here that's that way. Look what he said here in John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35. This is that blind man that the Lord opened his eyes, and the Pharisees throwed him out of the church. That's what they said in verse 34. They answered, said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and you're going to teach us? You're the one born in sins, not us. You going to teach us? Well, man, we know everything, what them Pharisees said. And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, that's the first thing. Christ's got to find you. He knows right where you're at. He knows right where you're at. And he found him. He said unto him, dost thou believe? Now listen to what the question he asked. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? That means that he's supernaturally born. That means that he come from heaven. That means that God sent him. When you say that you believe on the name of the Son of God, you're talking about somebody that came down from heaven. Somebody that says God himself begat me. Somebody said God sent me on a mission into this world. Somebody that's got all power and got all glory and got all might that God sent me, the Son of God. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered, said, Lord, who is he? That's a good question. Who is he? So if I know who he is, then I'll believe him. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And our Lord said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. Now, has God Christ ever talked with you in the gospel, in the word? Have you seen him by faith? And he said, Lord, I believe. Look what he did. He worshiped. He worshiped. He worshiped. Oh my. I tell you something, beloved. Let me show you something else in Acts chapter 13. You got to see this. I mean, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I don't want to take too long, but I do want you to see these things about believing on the Son of God. You know, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. And that's what he said is, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ was really the Son of God, come from God, went back to God, was God, begotten of God, and that's what he says, you know, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God only had one son. How did he ever have to get here? He was born. How was he born? Of a virgin. That couldn't have come any other way. And he said, the Son of God, that means that I have no relationship to Adam and his blood. That means that I have no relationship to this fallen nature. I come from God. I'm a son, the Son of God. Nobody ever come into this world and claim to be that. And that's why they picked up rocks twice to stone him. He said, why are you going to stone me? What good work? We're not going to stone you because you're a good man. We're not going to stone you because you did good works. We're going to stone you because you blaspheme, saying that you are equal with God. You're saying you're the Son of God. And look what he said here now in Acts. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Trust Him with your whole soul. Look in Acts 8:26. And he arose, Philip arose, and when he went, he beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran and caught up with him and said unto him, and heard him reading. He's sitting there reading out loud. and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what you read? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? I don't understand. I'm reading it, but I don't understand what I'm reading. And he said, Philip, get up here with me and sit with me. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, Isaiah 53 and verse 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Now this is what, listen to what the Enoch asked Philip. And said, I pray thee, of whom is the prophet talking about? Who is this prophet talking about? He's talking about somebody. Is he talking about himself? Or somebody else? Some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him from that scripture the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went on their way. And he kept on preaching, and they came unto a certain water. A certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? He said, the first thing he wanted to do was confess his faith in Christ by being baptized. That's how you confess faith in Christ, by being baptized. Not by coming up here to the front. Not by raising your hand and says, you know, I want to join the church. And he says, oh, listen, what doth it? And Philip said, now listen, here's the only qualification to being baptized. Here's the only qualification when you believe Christ. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And listen to what he said he believed. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ, this one you just preached to me, is the Son of God. They stopped that chariot, buried him, raised him up, and he started out walking newness of life. Huh? Oh my. Oh me. Well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and trusted him with all your soul? And let me tell you, the question I'm asking is not how much I know. Not how much I know. This fella here only knew one thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what that Philippian jailer said. I believe. I believe. I believe. Don't harm yourself. I believe. Paul preached unto him and said, I believe. Come on, let's all go. Look what he said. And the question is, I don't ask you how much I know, but who do I know? Who? He's what this man asked. Is this man talking about himself or somebody else? And it was who he knew that he got into that baptism pool. It's not our knowledge of him, but his knowledge of us. I feel more comfortable with what he knows about me than what I know about him. And all the question is, have I come to him? Have I come to him? Huh? And let me tell you something. The profession that a believer makes and the experience that a believer has is never more than coming to Christ any time in his life. He comes to Christ. He keeps coming to Christ. To whom coming? And just keeps on coming to Christ. I'm coming to Christ. Where else am I going to go to get the strength, to get the ability, to get mercy, to get grace, to get forgiveness, to get the Spirit, to get help, to get hope? Where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to go to get eyes to see, heart to believe, faith to go on with every day? Where are we going to get it? Oh, only coming to him. Oh, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, and in his arms I'll feel 10,000 charms. Oh, have I committed myself to him? Oh, yes.
Who else can I go to? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And he has convinced me that whatever I've committed into his hands, he's able to keep it against that day. Oh, beloved, do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you need him? Do you need him to be your Savior? Your Redeemer? As for me, I cannot save myself. I'm hopeless without him. Hopeless without him. Let me ask you, have you turned from yourself to him? Have you turned from your righteousness to his righteousness? Have you turned from your works to his obedience? Have you turned to your goodness to his choice? From your faith to his faithfulness? Oh, listen. A child of God wants to be done with his self and cast himself on Christ for all time and eternity. That's what a believer wants to do. He counts everything that he ever had before he come to know Christ but done. And he presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the starting mark. And you know where the finishing mark is? Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Old John Donne said this, "As the first Adam's sweat surrounds my face, may the last Adam's blood my soul embrace." And you all remember the story of old Jack the Huckster? Remember that? Here's an old fellow went around selling pots and pans and making things and selling them, and God revealed himself to him, saved him, and somebody asked him, he wanted to join the church, and he went to the church and they said, "Jack, what's your profession?" "I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all." "Well, don't you ever feel pretty good about yourself?" "Oh, how could I feel good about myself? I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all." "Do you ever feel like you know you don't have any?" She said, "Oh, how could I not? I'm assured of this one thing. I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all, and Jesus Christ is my all in all." "Don't you ever get up and get encouraged in that? How can I be encouraged? Christ came to save sinners and I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all, and Jesus Christ is my all in all." If you die with that testimony on your lips, you'll be all right. "I'm a poor sinner. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all." Huh? He's my all in all. And oh, beloved, and I'm going to tell you something, and take this home with you, and I'll be done. I know this about a man that God saves, a man that's a sinner. I know this, a man that believes on Christ. I know this, God will not let you move far from this right here. The minute you start moving away from being a sinner, you've moved too far. If you move away from believing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with all your heart and all your mind, and commit your soul to Him, you're moving too far. God will not let you get away from that. He's going to keep you, so just drive your stake down right there and say, "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all." Just drive that down. I don't believe a fellow would act like that. Well, then you're not a poor sinner, nothing at all. You follow me around, and you'll say, "Well, I'll never go hear that preacher again. Just come spend a few days with me." You'll say, "No, buddy, I ain't going to go hear that fella ever again." Go with me when I'm on vacation, and I'm shaking a leg. Oh, listen. This is the whole purpose of the gospel, the word, and the preaching, and the Holy Spirit, to make men and women sinners in Christ to be all. And I know this. We need an absolute Savior
if we're absolute sinners, don't we? And God makes the gospel simple enough that men who can't read can understand it. Deaf men can hear it. Blind men can see it. People who can't speak can call on Him. And people that are bedfast and crippled can arise and go to Him. Ain't that right? The only reason a man doesn't come to Him is because he's not a sinner. I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Amen. Oh, our Savior. Oh, our Savior. Oh, bless your name for being a Savior. For being a Redeemer. For saving sinners like ourselves, like me. Oh, Father, sinners that plunge beneath that flood that lose all their guilty stains. It's sinners that you came. And your enemy said you receive sinners. The enemy says that he eats with publicans and sinners. This man lets sinners touch him. And Lord, I touch you because I'm a sinner. I come to you because I'm a sinner. And Lord, I need you and I want you and I desire you. And I desire the salvation that only you can give. In Christ's name, I bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a couple of verses. No, let's sing, "Oh, how merciful. How merciful thou is."
When I was lost in sin and
6 o'clock. And now I wonder if you're a child of God. Do you know or not? See you tonight, 6 o'clock. Lord willing.